Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the bulldozer Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
It's Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on that cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black D.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker. Fuck you. Fuck you, and fuck you! Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio!
It is Wednesday, February 13th, 2013. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J.K. Morris, and with me at this time is Chrissy Rivera.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. Welcome to the show. So you had an eventful weekend. I guess we'll start off with how your weekend went.
Yeah, it was pretty eventful. There was a lot of food in my weekend. This Saturday, a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Chrissy was in an ultra-violent food fight with Greg Excellent on Saturday, and how'd that go? I didn't get to see it yet. So.
It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. We just went out there and said, let's just have a good time and beat the shit out of each other, and that's exactly what we did. And Greg beat the shit out of me, so yeah, so make sure you pick up the DVD when it comes out or whatever it's released. I don't even know what's going on, but it'll be out at some point, so if people want to see Greg beat me up, which I'm sure people do, then that's definitely a match that you want to see.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out. I can't really review the show because all I can read is results, and
I didn't even watch the show. I didn't even get to watch the show.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely look forward to checking that out. I guess we'll jump into Raw and stuff. Didn't do a show last week, so kind of went behind on that stuff. But leading into the Elimination Chamber. I think there's one more week before Elimination Chamber, right?
I want to say it's this Sunday. Right?
Oh, is it this Sunday? I don't know. I'm a horrible host.
they run pay-per-views.
Here,
it feels that. Like every other week. So, like, I feel like we just had Royal Rumble, and now, like, we're having Elimination Chamber, like, 2 weeks later. That's what I think it feels like, so.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, the last weekend, but I could be completely wrong. I think it was only three weeks away from the last one. So are we 3 weeks now, or?
Maybe. It was at the end of January, right? I don't even know. I'm a bad co-host. I don't even know.
It's all horrible. horrible show. I think there might be another week. I could be wrong because, again, I'm way off time and stuff that. But I know from what I noticed, there's no March pay-per-view.
Right, which is there ever a March pay-per-view? Like, I want to say, like,
so.
They don't do one because of Mania.
Hmm. I know at times Mania sometimes ends up at the end of March,
mm-hmm.
but I thought at other times they had it March pay-per-view. I don't know. They started off Raw with the whole Heyman segment with Punk, and Heyman's, you know, resigning, and then Punk talks him out of it, and that whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
You started off with that. I'm not fully sure where they're going the whole angle with that. I think it's going to turn into, you know, the big swerve on the Rock Punk match, but sure exactly what they're doing with that just yet, but the first
mm-hmm.
match, they had Kali and Mark Henry.
Right.
And we pretty much squashed Kali, which is completely fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mark Henry looks really good since he's come back. I think he came back last week when I didn't do the show. But the one thing that really boggles my mind, a lot of these people are coming back right after Royal Rumble, where you had such like a lack of returns or surprises in the Royal Rumble. I really expected more. And then it's like immediately after Royal Rumble, you get all sorts of returns.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I love Mark Henry right now. Like, I was like, I've always like kind of liked him, but I wasn't like fully on the Mark Henry bandwagon. I was just like, whatever, you know, but like, I don't know, like this return just seems like different. I don't know. Like maybe, like you said, it was like, it's weird that they're doing his return now, but I don't know. I like him right now. I think he's awesome. So every time he comes on, I always make sure to like watch him. But yeah, unfortunately he had to suffer through a great Kali match, which wasn't awful, but it's great Kali. And I think everybody knows how we both feel about him. So
yeah, definitely. I'm not really sure why they're employing him other than just like a huge guy for someone to pick up. And then it's like, oh, wow, look how big he's picking up. Like, I don't.
Right. Which didn't like Claudio or Antonio Cesaro pick him up like a couple weeks ago? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's impressive. I'm not going to like shit all over it or whatever, but I'm just like, I'm so over Great Khali. Like, if they can't release him fast enough in my eyes before like he like collapses in the ring and just dies.
Yeah, it can't be a long, long life living that big and walking that creaky at this. I mean, he can't be even that old at this point.
No, yeah, he's just a mess.
Yeah. So then they more or less put Mark Henry into the Elimination Chamber, which I think is great. They put him over a lot of people, and they just seem like they're pushing him right away, which, you know, he's had a long enough run with the company. I don't think he needs too much convincing. So,
right.
That's fine. And then they started the whole thing with Jericho wanting in, and then they said, you're going to have to fight somebody to get in, and it was Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
That was later on the match. What happened next? Okay,
that match
so
was awesome, by the way.
Yeah, that was the next match. They had, like, segments in between, but that was the next match. Yeah, that match was great. I mean, it was a, you know, classic example of what Jericho can do, and obviously what Daniel Bryan could do. just really good pairing.
Mhm.
Yeah, I thought they had a lot of good back and forths, you know, reversals, everything like that. It just it worked well together.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that match. So I was surprised. Like, I mean, I just feel Raw lately has just been like so much talking, and I guess it's just all building up for Mania and setting up stuff like they normally do around this time of year, but. I really enjoyed that match. Like, it was good to, like, finally see something, like, really enjoyable on there rather than just, like, a basic match and then, like, 15 segments.
Yeah. I actually really like this Raw overall. Last week I didn't really like it. I was like, all right. You know, here and there was a few things. But this Raw, I had a few things I liked quite a bit. That was definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that, I think, puts Jericho into the Elimination Chamber, too, right?
Right, I think so, yeah.
What do you think about there only being one Elimination Chamber match in a pay-per-view?
Yeah, like, wasn't there, like, supposed to be two of them? Like, I think, like, the Shield was supposed to be in the other one or something, and now they're not doing it. Like, I don't know what's going on. Usually they have two, right? Or am I...
Mm-hmm, a SmackDown and a Raw one.
Yeah, like, I don't... Did they say why they're not doing that this year, or they just decided they just didn't do it? Like,
I don't know. I think it's kind of the way that they lined everything up, because they had, you know, Punk set to face The Rock, so you really couldn't do much with the world title picture, and then you had the Shield all locked up with the top faces and the, you know, the Raw guys, and they already had lined up who was going to go for the titles at WrestleMania, so I don't know if they really could have done something that led to a title shot or a different champion, and I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but the pay-per-view is Elimination Chamber, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it would be kind of cool to have two of them, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that Mania is, like, really good this year. Like, it usually is. Like, I enjoyed Mania last year, so I'm just hoping that all this building and everything just, the end result is, like, a really good Mania this year.
Yeah, I think it will be. Personally, to jump ahead just a little bit, I think they're going to run some kind of swerve, and I think Punk's taking the title back, and I think they make it a three-way for Mania.
Mm-hmm. What's going on with, like, Dolph Ziggler? Because, like, he still has the Money in the Bank thing, and, like, he has to use it, like, either before Mania or by Mania, right? Or am I, like, wrong on that?
Well, I remember you originally said that, and I actually, like, said that in conversation with someone else, and they corrected me and said, well, the Money in the Bank match last year wasn't at Mania.
Oh.
So, and that's right. They actually had the Money in the Bank pay-per-view rather than the Mania, which was after that. So I don't know if that necessarily applies.
Hmm. Well, maybe it doesn't, because they haven't even really said anything about it, like, oh, well, his time is almost up, or maybe they're trying to make it, like, a big surprise where people, like, he's had it for so long that, like, people kind of just forget that he has it, and then he's going to, like, cash it in at the last moment or whatever, like.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, by that standard, they still have time, because if it's a year to the date, then they have till the next Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I thought it was at Mania, but I guess not, so.
Yeah, which I was actually upset about last year, because that was their big spot fest, you know, that was
right.
The Money in the Bank spot fest match, and it was like, why not? I was like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know. Well, hopefully they give this man a push. Like, he deserves it. Like, I feel like he deserves it. Like, let this man win already. Like, I feel like they've just been dicking him around for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're scared of a face push for whatever reason. I was actually listening to something. They played the Big Show had a like a interview somewhere, and he was mentioning it. A lot of guys in the back had been continually talking like, "Yeah, Dolph needs to be a face push," and Big Show was saying a lot of things that guys are pushing for is him to take on like a strong finish, like a super kick or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's the strongest finish, but to make it like the next guy who does that as a finish, like Michaels.
Right.
And they're saying that would be the thing to push him over the top and make him that baby face. But That was interesting, even though I never find Big Show interesting. He
had
some actual
legitimate things to say. Big Show interview?
Yeah, it was short, and he was just being kind of, like, candid about, like, you know, normal stuff and how people feel about this guy and that guy, and I was like, huh, listen to him. All right, just do him with, you know, commentary, interviews. Mm-hmm. Just never go to the ring again. That'd be great.
I've been a fan of his less and less ever since, like, we started, like, talking about him on the show. Like, now I watch him, I'm like, like, all right,
yeah.
He's out again. All right, he's not doing anything, or, well, I mean, he's feuding with Del Rio, so I can't say he's not doing anything, but I'm just not really into the feud that much.
Me either, and I don't know if they run this feud from here to Mania. At this point, it's hard to just switch up. I mean, I'll get to that in a minute. The other possibility I think that's going to happen, because, you know, this pay-per-view, it really can't lead to the Big Show fighting him at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless the Big Show wins the title and then someone else fights the Big Show at Mania, but that makes kind of less sense.
Right, with it being so soon, like it's 2 months away, like if that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, beginning of April, so yeah, something like that, sometime in the beginning of April, I think the 13th, so maybe more towards the middle, but then they had Sheamus, Ryback, and John Cena beat three-man band, which I guess this is just to build them as a credible tag team before the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I was confused as, well, I guess, like you said, that's what they were doing it for, but I was just like, really? Like 7 days before you're supposed to have a pay-per-view or whatever, and you're just, like, throwing this, and I feel like they just, like, threw the match together, like, all right, well, we just need somebody to make these guys look strong and credible, like you said, and they just put them against them or whatever.
It's just hilarious, because, like, I'd say probably a month and a half to 2 months ago, they actually had three-man band job to just Ryback. So it's like, now add two other main eventers and see what happens.
Yeah, I don't really understand that. I feel like it was just, like, rushed, like, oh, we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, it was just kind of a sub-in thing. Mm-hmm. Then they showed some footage of the Alberto Del Rio Big Show thing continuing to go on. And, I mean, one thing I'll say is they're actually making it, even though I can't stand, like, the what's going on in ring, or I don't really want this to continue, they're starting to make it a little creative with Del Rio, you know, pouring the paint on him and, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, kind of goofing on him. He's like the, like, thorn in his side type thing. He's actually, like, making a joke out of the Big Show for the first time. And
right.
It kind of works a little because he's going to get super mad. But, you know, I'm about done with the whole feud. And now Big Show's punching every jobber in the locker room because they're laughing at him. And,
I saw that. Yeah, like you said, like, I could see where they're trying to build it and they're making it interesting and stuff, but I'm just over it too. Like, I can't really get into this feud. Like, and I love Del Rio, but I like Del Rio as a heel, and I think, like, we talked about that, like, before. It's like,
right.
I mean, he's really good, but I think he's just so much better as a heel. Like, I just don't like him as a face at all. It's just like, I just want him just to turn and go back to what he was. Like, I thought he was awesome before when he was coming out and he had the car and, like, all that stuff, and it was just an asshole. Now he's kind of just,
yeah, I don't know why. When he turned face, he lost his car. Like, I don't know if he lost his license, and they're like, we'll just make you a face, okay? Just smile, we'll forget about the cars.
I guess. I don't know. I'm over it. I hope this feud ends sooner than later also. So.
Yeah. Well, the next thing that showed up, and Swagger is another guy who's come back since the last time I did a show, and I think he looks, I mean, they really didn't tweak a lot other than what came of this show. Other than he's come out much more intense. Kind of got the same music. And he's got a beard that you just got to look closely because it's blonde. So, you know, it's got to be like a close-up camera. It can't be like a upper deck cam. You can't tell any difference. But he seems to be more intense, you know, like he's got a little more passion into it or whatever the case is. He kind of fell flat before. He was Ziggler's like second guy, and then just they kind of just let him linger. And
right.
I don't think they knew what they were doing with him, but
well, yeah, like
when
he
they,
had the belt, like when he
yeah.
came and he had the belt, and he was getting pushed, and then like he lost it, and then that was it, and it was like, all right, well, what happened? And he kind of disappeared. So like, I don't know. It seems like they're trying to push him again. Like he's like,
mm-hmm.
who did he wrestle? I don't even remember.
Well, he wrestled Zack Ryder and pretty much squashed him. But the interesting thing was him coming out with Zeb Coulter, which is what you call it, Dutch Mantel.
Right, completely random, by the way.
Right, but it seemed like the direction they went after that is like he's going like a complete like racist, you know,
mm-hmm.
like angle.
Right,
and which is interesting because now you send Jack Swagger into the Elimination Chamber, and the winner of that would face. I mean, you got to think Del Rio. Because, I mean, to have Big Show, the heel, beat Del Rio after several matches, and then Del Rio just goes, all right, I'll see you later, and, you know, you wrestle someone else at Mania, doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Right.
So I got to think the winner is going to face Del Rio.
Mm-hmm.
And you got them out there cutting these promos about illegals and people from other countries, and I don't understand what you're talking about and this and that. To me,
mm-hmm.
kind of gives us a hint that he might be the favorite to win that and go to Mania.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool, though. Like, I think that they would have really good matches, because I think Jack Swagger is, like, he's good. It's just I don't know what happened after he lost the title. It was kind of just like you said, they didn't really know what to do with him, and he was just kind of there or whatever. But, like, I think a Jack Swagger-Del Rio feud might be kind of cool. Anything better than Big Show at this point, though.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Yeah, I thought that was really, really interesting, the whole racist gimmick. And I was like, oh, well, this is something, you know.
Yeah, it's surprising that they're doing that, you know, like, because I never know if they're, like, PG or whatever, or, like.
No.
I don't know.
A lot of people, they kept, you know, denying that it could go non-PG especially after Linda's campaign thing didn't go her way.
Right.
And you started to see a lot more things. They were small, and, you know, it wasn't like a complete change night and day. But I really started to see little things here and there that I was like, I don't think they're staying this PG route anymore. And they even released the Attitude Era DVD after that.
Mm-hmm.
They put the Attitude Era mode in the new wrestling game.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed to bring it back up. Like, oh, yeah, guys, remember that stuff? And now they're pushing it. So
That's good. That's good. I mean, it was bad for a while. Like you said, when the whole, like, Linda campaign thing was going on, like, they couldn't do anything, or I guess they didn't want to, like, step on anybody's toes or whatever. But now it seems like they're trying to push the envelope, like, little by little, more and more. So, like, but I was surprised when that whole Swagger thing happened. Like, I was just like, I can't believe they're doing this, but I think it'll be kind of cool.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, and I say definitely far, far from PG when he's looking at the crowd saying, I see a lot of faces that don't look like mine, and people I don't
mm-hmm.
understand their language, and I'm like, oh, wow, look at this. Something else. It's a definite classic heel move and stuff that used to work a lot back, you know, years ago.
Right.
So, I mean, it's good to see them pushing the envelope, and a classic heel is an ignorant racist, so.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Should work, especially if they aim them at, you know, Alberto Del Rio. So.
Which would be the logical thing for them to do,
mm-hmm.
so.
And especially them trying to get him over as a face, you know, unless you put them in an area where there's nothing but racist people, they're going to go, wait, this guy he's way off, you know. He doesn't sound
exactly.
right. Go Del Rio, you know. So,
yeah.
I guess it works. Then they had Miz versus Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
I had heard something, and I didn't see the match. I don't know when it even took place. When did the Miz fight CM Punk?
Did he?
Yeah, like sometime within the past maybe 2 weeks, and I had heard that he dropped punk on his head, and that was like a big deal, and he obviously wasn't immediately de-pushed or anything, but there was a lot of like rumbling backstage. I don't know if you heard anything about that. Or...
No, like I didn't see that match. Did that happen on like, that was supposed to happen on Raw, or was it like Superstars or something?
No,
like...
it might have been like Superstars, or isn't there like another show? I think they added shows, and I didn't even...
There's Superstars, which is, I think it's on today, and then there's Saturday Morning Slam, but
yeah, there's,
I, went,
there's so
I don't
many.
See it being on that.
Okay, it was a weekend house show, someone in the chat saying.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's why I didn't see it, because even if I wanted to, it wouldn't happen.
I guess it was just, like, on the dirt sheets and stuff. Yeah, like, I didn't even know that they had worked or whatever. I didn't hear anything about that.
Yeah, so, I don't know, I just... reminded me because I read The Miz and I was like, oh. I also heard pretty much that they were splitting up the Rhodes Scholars, which I'm not a big fan of them splitting that up this soon, especially when it really started working. But,
right, I heard that too.
But they do have them booked on like the whatever YouTube undercard of the pay-per-view over the weekend, so I don't know exactly what they did with that.
I'm wondering if like I had heard that, like, rumors, and obviously it's just rumors, but that it might be, like, Cody versus, like, his brother or whatever at Mania. And
that would
have,
be
like,
good.
They had that thing at, like, Royal Rumble, and, like, people were, like, marking out for it and stuff. So, like, that might happen. But, like, what's the – like you said, like, I'm not a fan of them splitting up as a tag team either. I think – that they're good, and it seems like they just formed this team, like, not too long ago. Like, why, like, what's the point of splitting them so early, but...
Yeah. I agree, I don't, you know, want them split that early, but I did definitely, I was really into when they mixed them up in the Rumble. I was like, oh, man, a feud with them would be really good. Before Goldust is done, a good feud... But I think this close to WrestleMania, I mean, you want months and months of build-up with the two brothers going at it and
you know,
bringing Dusty into it and everything, you know? And I don't know if this close they could pull it off and make it
match, I mean. Yeah, unless he said, like, he wanted to just to do, like, a one and done and that was it, and didn't want to make a big deal about it. But I don't know. It would be kind of cool, but... It would be better with the build, like you said, and get Dusty involved and everything and get the people. I mean, I think people would be really into, like, a brother's feud, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't understand the whole splitting up the, like you said, splitting up the tag team, and I don't know what their plans are for either of them. I hope that they don't drop the ball with either of them because they're both awesome, and I feel like they don't have them around enough, you know, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm. And then they had The Miz win by disqualification because Cesaro attacked Miz, and then he did the big swing. He did the big swing back and forth and was just launching him into the barricade, which is pretty
cool. Okay. Oh, yeah, I did see that. That was awesome.
Yeah. He hasn't done the big swing since... He got in there, at least not on TV, I have seen. So.
No, yeah. That was cool. I guess, I don't know, are they going to do like a Miz Cesaro thing? Or
Yeah, they've been kind of feuding them.
I don't like the Miz as a face.
They're doing a lot of that. The faces
I know,
really
I hate it. It's stupid. I don't know. In my opinion, I cannot stand the Miz as a face. I think he's like... He just tries too hard to be funny, and, like, some of the stuff he says, all right, like, it could be kind of funny, but, like, I don't know. Like, I liked when he was just, like, the douchey heel. Like, he was just, like, himself, and now he's kind of, like, I mean, he's still douchey, but he's a face, and I don't know. I don't like it at all. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, he's still a cocky asshole, and it's like, well, I don't like you because you're a cocky asshole, so...
Yeah, exactly. So just be a heel cocky asshole.
Right, yeah. So then they did Epico and Primo versus Brodus Clay and Tensai, which to me, it's starting to work, even though I didn't like the fact that they were putting Tensai as a big goofball now.
Right.
They were declining him anyway, and at least if they're going to make him, like, a fun-loving guy, like, he's still able to – the two of them are still, like, crushers, but playful crushers, I guess you'd say, like, kind of for the kids, fun, big guys. I don't know.
I guess I'm really trying to get behind it, but, like, I don't know. And he actually, you wouldn't know about this because you're not on Twitter, but he Tensai tweeted about, I guess, when they did the Raw Roulette thing, and he came out, like, in lingerie and dance and all
right.
that stuff, and people were, like, making fun of him. He said something like, love it or hate it, it's entertainment or something like that. Like, basically, like, defending himself, and I don't know if, like, that was, like, him genuinely saying that, or, like, WWE was like, you need to go on there and, like, say this or whatever, but, like, yes, so I don't know, like, I'm really trying to get behind it and like it, but at the same time, it's like, he was a monster. Look at his stuff in Japan, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you go to, like, him in Japan, so, like, him dancing in a nightgown, you know what I'm saying? It's just like,
oh, yeah.
It's just crazy. It's just crazy to me. Not that I hate it, but, like, it's just, I mean, I guess stuff changes and it's whatever works and whatever, I guess, they feel is quote-unquote good for the business at that time. And
yeah.
What obviously wants to keep his job, but, like, I don't know. I just remember him being, like, such a powerhouse and such a monster and, like, killing people. And now all of a sudden he's, like, this, like, goofball idiot that everybody's like just dancing with and stuff. It's like, I don't know, I haven't fully accepted that yet.
Oh yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that, like, in that aspect either, because like you said, he's so much better as the powerhouse and everything, but it's a role that WWE isn't going to give him. They tried it, and I keep bringing it up, but they tried it with too many people at once. They had him squashing people. They had Ryback squashing people. They had, at the time when Cesaro was coming up, he just was getting nothing but wins.
Right.
Who else? Sandow was even squashing jobbers at the time.
Yep.
They had too many. So then when they pulled the reins back, and now Brock's back too. So it's like, who's going to squash people? Brodus was squashing people. I mean.
Yeah, there was way too many people. There was not enough room, I guess, for him. And he kind of got thrown on the back burner. It was probably like, all right, well, we could release you, or we could do this, you know.
Or you could dance. Like,
or you could, or you could put on this,
home.
You could put on this fucking lingerie and dance. And he's like, okay. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's his choice. I mean, if he wants to do it, let him do it. But
yeah. Yeah, clearly can't change the mind of the company, so I mean, if they're going to do it, he's either going to be there or he's not, so. But, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to have fun with it. It seems like they're clicking up, and it's like the guy who's kind of against his will dancing and doing these things, so it's like, you know, all right.
Yeah.
But, the Funkadactyls seem to be stepping their game up as far as the wrestling things go. They're doing some, you know, flippy stuff, and, they had a pretty nice baseball slide dropkick on Rosa.
Rosa, yeah, I saw
yeah, I was
that.
Like, ooh.
I did see that, and excuse me, Naomi is awesome. I think we talked about that before. I said I don't know why they don't let her wrestle, because she was in the whatever it was, Tough Enough Diva Search. I don't remember which one, but she was like really good. Like, I thought she was, like, one of the better ones that they had, and she ended up not winning. And I was, like, all upset about it, because I was like, she's actually pretty decent. And then they don't have her – they didn't really have her doing anything. But now it seems like, well, hopefully they'll be having them do more, unless they only did that one little thing. But, yeah, she's good. I like her. I think they should – considering the Divas division is so shitty right now, like,
yeah.
I think putting her there as a wrestler would be an asset. Like, she's decent, like, she can work, and she's a good-looking girl, and she would obviously be a face, and they need that, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing.
On an off topic, on the female side of things too, who do you think is going to induct Trish Stratus into the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. I really don't know. Like, I don't even know who's around anymore that would do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody sadly is like dead or like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it'd be cool if it was like a, like Sharon Martel was around or something like that. Like, that would be awesome. But like, obviously not. So I don't know. Like, do you have any ideas of who it would be? Or?
Not really. I mean, you got the possibilities. I mean, a lot of names that are being thrown around, like Albert, because, you know, it's the TNA thing. But I don't think they're going to give that to him.
Yeah.
You know, when Sonny went out there, before she embarrassed all of them for doing that, they pretty much marched the whole, like, line of divas out at the time and had them all, like, honor her.
Right.
So I don't know if they might do the same thing, or just they bring all the young divas out and like, oh, you know, shout out to Trish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I they could bring Mae Young out. I mean, I don't know. It's a tough call. I mean, it's a Hall of Fame thing. They got to do something that makes sense. I mean.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Who else was she with? She was with.
And they're trying way too hard to keep Albert not Albert, so I don't even think they're going near that.
Right, yeah. There's, like, nobody that comes to mind that I can even think of that would make sense to induct her. So maybe they'll do, like you said, like they did with the whole, like, Sunny thing or whatever, but
yeah.
I don't know. Did they didn't announce everybody that they're inducting, right? Like, they still have...
No, so far they got, oh man, I'm going to miss people. They got, Bob Backlund, Bruno Sammartino, Mick Foley, Trish, and I don't know if I'm missing someone now.
I think that's all they announced.
It might be. Obviously, they'll do a celebrity, which, I mean, there's always the possibilities and rumors that they go with LT, even though he's a train wreck still, and it's just because of the area. I mean, if they put Mike Tyson in, LT's not that far of a stretch. He's only got to be sober one night.
Right. Who else did we say? Drew Carey might, we're like, Drew Carey might
yeah.
be in it or something.
Oh, Drew Carey went in. No, Drew
oh,
Carey
he
went in. Yeah.
Oh, well, we were talking about this last time I was on that. Who we thought, and somebody said somebody, and we were like, "Oh yeah, that would be good."
The guy
and
in the chat just said Snooki.
Well, she was. She did wrestle at Mania, so I mean.
Imagine the one person doing the backhand spring that gets in is not Chyna. It's Snooki.
Oh, my God. Well, we obviously know
China's
China
would kill herself
there.
That night. I know, but China would kill herself that night. They'd show her doing the backhand springs in the ring and just be like, that's it.
Backhand springs off a bridge. That's
yeah.
It.
Brutal. So, anyway, they... I mean, yeah, really, who's inducting a lot of those people is definitely something, you know, we'll have to bring up again before then, because I don't really know. I mean, Bruno's another one that who puts him in. You know.
I don't know.
It's rough. He hates Vince McMahon, so there's really not a lot of that going on. It's amazing
right,
that they
yeah.
even got him to go in. I mean, he deserves it, but he told people for years, I don't want any part of that. Where's the building? There's no Hall of Fame. There's no building. There's no nothing. Screw Vince McMahon and his, you know. I mean, they really shouted out. He shot that down every time he was asked.
Right, yeah. I don't know. We'll have to, like, cover that. Like, I'm going to have to, like, think about it and try to. See if I can come up with some because I can't. My mind is like drawing a blank right now.
Yeah. So then next up, they had the Shield come out and cut their promo. You know, they pretty much did like a three-way promo, switching off and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just so awesome to see, you know, Mox in the ring cutting promos, and even Tyler Black, but obviously Mox hits home with us.
Right.
Yeah. It's cool as hell because he's still doing his character. He's doing exactly what he does. You know,
right, just like the facial expressions and just being himself. But like, obviously, like, I don't know if it's just because like I'm friends with him, but like I just feel like they are just like limiting him so much. Like he could just be the one that runs shit. You know what I'm saying? Like give him the mic and just let him go and just let him talk. But obviously, they don't want to let him do that. They don't want to have, it seems like they don't want to have a distinctive leader of the Shield, and they all want to be equal. So you
right.
could tell, like, they were, like, passing off the mic, and, like, Moxley only got to say, like, three lines, and then Tyler Black got to say three lines, and then other dude got to say two lines, because he's not really, like, a talker. He more just, like, screams and grunts and stuff, but, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like knowing how awesome Mox is, it's just, like, just let him... You know, like, just let him do it, but they're obviously not going to do that or do it right now. But, yeah, I like you said, it's awesome to see him finally get to, like, be there and get, like, such, like, a big push and main event spot and all that stuff, so.
Yeah, sure, to come in, you know, straight off and be, you know, attacking the main eventers is a pretty unbelievable thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did that with Nexus, and you look at who's actually left out of that. And,
right.
you know, being pushed in any type of main event spot, not so much. I mean, Ryback
mm-hmm.
started out with that. He actually got hurt amongst that with Skip Sheffield gimmick. And
right.
they took him out of that, repackaged him while he was healing. And, you know, he did well. But and Daniel Bryan, they took off of that because he choked the dude. And...
with a tie or something.
yeah.
Yeah, but now he's doing, like, crossface, headbutts, and everything. He was like, that's okay now, but
yeah,
God forbid you trick somebody with a tie.
No, he's okay. yeah. So, yeah, it's cool, too, as far as Mox. I'm way late to getting it, but I got the WWE 13 game, like, last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool, and, you know, Mox isn't in it or anything like that, but the download content's really cool as far as, like, downloading people that other people created.
Right, yeah.
So you don't really have to spend, like, an hour and a half creating anyone because someone else does it, and then you just download them. And,
right, and they do, and, like, I want to know how people have so much time. Like, if you, like, a little bit off topic, like, if you go look up, like, the CZW roster, like,
mm-hmm.
look at, like, Masada, and, like, Masada looks just like Masada. Like, his shirt and everything and his gear is, like, perfect, like, to a T, and I'm like, how do
oh,
you
yeah.
do that? You know what I'm saying? Like, where do you get this time? Or, like, you put so much effort into, I mean, it's awesome. I'm not, like, crapping on it, but, like, yeah, like you said, like, the downloadable content is, like, so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I got Jun Gasai on there. He's got four different outfits, like, all, like, true gear. He's got all the stuff on his pants that he would normally have written on his pants.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's cool stuff. I don't
yeah.
have that type of time, so. but yeah, like I said, Mox, they got the Dean Ambrose thing. Apparently, I guess the WWE knew that they were going to be doing something with him, so they have in there, like, his ring entrance, and he does, like, the same, like, stumbling around, like, the way he walks, and, like, the certain stride to him. You could tell it was completely made for him.
Right,
so
exactly.
It's cool to even see those, like, unique motions and all that put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just cool as hell. It's just like,
yeah.
wow, you know, the next game, he's going to be on the game. Like, you don't have to download anything.
Yeah, that is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Good for him. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, definitely. So then Sandow comes out. You know, he silences the music. He silences the crowd. he's doing a lot of that now. I think it's hilarious.
Right.
When he yells silence at the crowd. but it was Sandow versus Del Rio. You know, Del Rio went over. They're, you know, clearly trying to give him momentum going into the pay-per-view. Like, you're not trying
mm-hmm.
to
push other guys just to get him into the pay-per-view to fight the Big Show after 3 months or feels like 3 years that feud's been going on, but
it has. It feels like it's been going on forever.
Yeah. So, well, that was, I mean, it was short, but it was decent. You know, I mean, both of those guys are extremely talented, so I liked it, but you know, it was kind of a filler match. They weren't trying to go anywhere with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had, they continued the, your guy Wade Barrett and Bo Dallas feud.
Oh my God! I love. Well, okay.
Give you a moment.
We obviously know at this point my admiration for Wade Barrett. So like, I'm always gonna root for Wade Barrett. It doesn't matter who he's working. I'm always gonna go for Wade Barrett. But like, okay, now he's wrestling Bo Dallas, who, like, I just can't stand. I don't know why. I just hate him. And now he's, like, now he's getting over on Wade Barrett. So, you know, I'm really pissed off now. Like, I don't know. I just don't like him. Like, I don't like anything about him. Like, okay, he might be, what's so special about him? Like, nothing. Like, he seems like just regular, like, indie guy that, like, I don't know. I know it's a horrible thing to say, but I could just see him being an entrant in Best of the Best this year. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, oh, Bo Dallas, Best of the Best this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, I don't know. I just don't see it with him.
Well, clearly not. So it was Wade Barrett and Kofi Kingston. Thought it was a good match. I love Kofi's work. I really do. I hope they could find something to do with him that continues. It seems like every time they start to get on a roll with him, they push him back down, and then he's kind of like enhancement talent at this point, where they just put him in with someone, so like, okay, this match will be fine, but they're not feuding with you, and then
right.
Go somewhere else and do something.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of like shovel him around, like, okay, you're in a tag team with this guy. Okay, you're
right.
Go do spots in that match and walk on your hands and, you know, hop with the chair. Do whatever you can. Like,
he's basically like the new Shelton Benjamin, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Shelton Benjamin used to do all that
absolutely.
Stuff. And like, so now he's kind of like taking that role.
Absolutely. But it was a good match. Wade Barrett went over. And Chrissy jumped up and down. And he yelled about wanting to fight Bo Dallas some more, and obviously they're leading that, you know, probably to Mania, I would imagine, because, you know, they're going to do it. I would imagine they're going to have that match. Let me see. Does they even have it lined up for the...
I don't know.
Now, they don't yet have it listed for Elimination Chamber, so they're probably going to... maybe do it there or tease something with it there, but they'll probably prolong it through Elimination Chamber into Mania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. We'll see. It's not my favorite feud, but...
Well, you hate the heel. Is he a heel? Or no?
No, Bo Dallas is a face.
Yeah. Barrett's not clearly a heel, is he, at this point? Or?
I think he is. I want
to
say
he's eternal face to you, but I mean.
Well, of course. Of course he's
he's
always
got championships. You look at him, you see belts, you see all sorts of things. I know the show just started, but this is the main event. So.
You know, he was in Baltimore the other day. Like, somebody tweeted a picture and they're like, got to meet Wade Barrett last week in Baltimore. And I was like, what? What? Like, Wade Barrett was in Baltimore and I didn't even know. I was like, so irate about it for the entire day. But, yeah, I'm pretty
tires
sure
spinning on Chrissy's car.
I'm pretty sure he's the heel. I'm pretty sure he's full-blown heel. And, like,
okay.
Bo Dallas, obviously, like, he eliminated him at Royal Rumble. And, like, I think he went over him in a match after that. So, like, I don't know what they're doing. I think it's stupid. I think it's dumb.
Yeah. So then they did Kane versus Dolph Ziggler,
mm-hmm.
and they put over Kane. It's like a, I guess, with AJ and Big E Langston, you know, kind of screwed him out of getting the win, which, you know, it seems like they're headed in the direction. A lot of people are saying this too, that they're headed towards splitting up Kane and Daniel Bryan.
Right.
Which, just, I think that's a horrible thing too. Like it's finally clicked so well. I mean, they did so much to build it, and now it seems like they're going to snap it off and then have them face each other at Mania.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I was getting that feeling. I forget what happened, but like, I don't remember. I don't remember exactly what happened, but I just know that it seemed like maybe Daniel Bryan was going to like turn on Kane or something like that. It just seemed like they might be setting them up, you know, to split or whatever. And I don't like that idea either. I love them as a team, and it's working, and it's super over with the crowd. So like, why take that away? Like, I understand they don't want to like drag it out or whatever, but if it's working so well, like why are you going to, you know, get rid of it and change it? Like, I don't understand that, but
yeah. And what does it say for the tag division if, you know, you finally got a few credible names and then it's like, all right, Road Scholars, we'll split them up, we'll split up Hell No, and then what do we have left?
Primetime Players.
Three-man band,
the Puerto Ricans. that's not really good for the tag division. And then, honestly, like, where does Kane go from there? You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I mean, he's awesome, but, like, what else is there for him to do after that? You know, he's done everything. Like, are they going to give him one last run? Are they going to finally, like, give him, you know, let him have the belt again, you know, for the last time? Like, what does he, because he's, like, ever since he's been with Daniel Bryan, he's been super over. It's been, like, a really big thing for him. So it's like, what happens after that? Like, where does Kane go from there? You know, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
They could feud him with Daniel Bryan for a little while, but after that, I mean, there's no going up for there, you know, with Kane. I mean, where else do you, I don't think you put a title on Kane again. I really don't, unless it's a tag title.
Right. Exactly. Like, I just don't see him in that spot anymore. Maybe because they've just, you know, they've had him in this, you know, tag thing for a while or whatever, and now he's kind of doing like the goofy comedy thing, but I don't see him in that. I don't see him in that role anymore either. I feel like that time they've missed on that time, you know, like they could have done it a while ago and let him run with it and stuff. And they just never did. They never really gave him like a full chance, but like, I feel like that time is like past now. So
Yeah, I don't know. And then after that, they had The Rock come out and tell this long story that, well, initially what happened is my DVR decided that Raw was now, or Comcast decided that Raw was three different episodes, so it only downloaded the first hour. So I'm like, great. And the same thing actually happened to Greg Excellent over there, because he, I guess, has Comcast too, and he's like, yo, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh, shit, that happened to me too.
Right.
And I'm like, wow. And then someone else chimed in like, oh, Comcast split it into three episodes rather than one, so your DVR will just go, okay, we got the episode, and stop recording.
Oh, that's,
well, that's
sucks.
Great. So I watched the rest on my computer like the next night, and or I tried to, and I got all the way to that, and he was telling his long, drawn-out story about crackheads and before you knew it, it was the morning.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, wow, I don't. So I finished watching that tonight, because I was like, I don't even know what he finished saying. And it was just like, I don't know what The Rock's doing. I mean, there's some points where he has like a really funny promo or like a rock concert thing or something like that. But this, he went on this story and The Rock and the crackhead. And it's like he was trying to pop the crowd with the word crackhead.
Right, exactly. Like, he always has, like, that one funny name that he's, like, using or whatever, that funny word that he's using. It's less, like, I'm just over The Rock at this point. Like, I never wanted him to win the title. I kind of understand why they gave him the title, because it was such a big deal, and it made people, like, talk. It was, like, all over, like, you know, radio stations and this and that, and people that haven't watched wrestling in years are like, oh, shit, The Rock won the belt, you know what I'm saying? And I guess they were trying to get people to watch and stuff like that. People were like, oh, The Rock's back, but, like, The Rock's not really back. We know that. It's like,
all right,
he came out at the end of the show and cut, like, a retarded promo, like, he's not on house shows, you know what I'm saying? People are complaining because he's not on house shows. Like, are you really surprised he's not doing house shows? It's like, and it kind of sucks because it's like he's the champion. Like, you feel like as being part of, like, the biggest company in the entire world, like, the champion should be at those shows and be doing, you know, be on Raw each week and not just the last 20 minutes, you know what I'm saying? And, like,
The promo Punk cut a couple of weeks ago, he said exactly what you were saying, too. And he's like, oh, you know, I can get my title rematch because I'll be such and such on Saturday. And on Wednesday, I'll be over there. And on here, I'll be over there. And he was just, like, reading off where the house shows are. He's like, and
right,
I'll be there.
Exactly.
But I guess you won't be there until such and such. And I guess that's when we'll fight. So it was funny.
Yeah.
He kind of called him out on it.
Yeah, it's true. It sucks because, I mean, like, I said, like, they feel like it's the good thing for business to put it on him so more people are talking and this and that, but, like, it just sucks for, like, the actual, like, people that are, like, following in, like, I guess I should say smart marks that watch it, and they're just like, well, you know, like, they know the truth. They know that he's basically just there for a couple shows and then he's going to be gone again. Like, obviously he's not going to hold the title, like, very much longer, and he's going to go and, like, do his movies or do whatever, and, like, he's not in it for the long run anymore, so it's, like, what's the real point of doing that, you know? Like, it's not really fair to, like, the boys like Punk, who's, like, you could hate, people hate him as much as they want, say he's a dick, but he busts his ass, and, like, is at all the shows, and is, like, putting on really good matches and amazing promos, and, like, you know, traveling nonstop. It's, like, really not fair to him and other guys who are just, like, workhorses and, you know, they get the title stripped from them or they're not on the shows or they get released and stuff. But it's all about politics, I guess, and who you are.
Yeah. I mean, The Rock had, I think, 4 different Super Bowl commercials. So, I mean, he's going to get the brand spread out there, you know, just with his name. But, you know, doesn't make it entertaining.
No.
But, yeah, the Elimination Chamber match is now Randy Orton, Jack Swagger, Chris Jericho, Mark Henry, Kane, and Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
So I figure what comes out of that is Daniel Bryan and Kane get into it during it, and it's going to lead towards,
probably the next Mania.
Yeah, the next couple weeks, they'll probably bicker and go to Mania. I don't see either one of them getting a shot at Del Rio at Mania. Just, it would be surprising. Mark Henry, I mean, he could go several directions. I don't necessarily see them putting him up against that. For some reason, I'm telling you, I think the Jack Swagger thing with this racist angle is probably going to lead it right to it.
That would be cool. I'm just praying that Randy Orton does not win. Like,
yeah.
So over Randy Orton.
Well, the fact that Mark Henry actually squashed him on a SmackDown. It wasn't a SmackDown. I think it was SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was Friday SmackDown. Like, he pretty much squashed Randy Orton. It was, like, one of the smallest amounts of offense you've seen out of Randy Orton in a long time.
Right.
It was like, oh, wow, they're really putting Mark Henry over. So it's like, all right, well, maybe Mark Henry and Randy Orton will have a Mania match or something.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's just, you know my feelings. I think we both have the same feelings on Randy Orton. We're both just over him. So it's like,
you're right.
Just please,
as long as they
win.
Keep him out of the way of better things, though. Give him a match,
like,
somewhere, just out of the way.
Go over there, Randy. Just go wrestle over there.
Go play. Yeah, go play with him. Yeah, that's fine.
Like, let them have their main event over here. You just stay over there. Like, don't get involved.
Yeah, go play with Mark. It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if he was, like, repackaged himself, like, go away for, like, 2 months, 3 months, and come back and just be different.
6 months? A year? I mean,
I would be happy if he's gone for like 3 months and he comes back and it's like something totally different. I don't know. Like, this is like, he was doing that for a while where he was just like, you know, like doing a couple of different things or whatever. And
he was suspended for a while.
He was also getting into a lot of trouble, but now he's kind of just coming out and doing the same shit. And I don't know. I'm just bored with him.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him in any type of main event.
Yeah, me neither. So, well, either this Sunday or the next Sunday, because I don't know anything.
Somebody tell us when Elimination Chamber is, because we have
no
idea.
Yeah, when is it? Because we'll never know. We'll be like, oh, I just completely missed that. And then following week, we'll just have to figure it out on results and downloads.
Exactly.
I don't know. But, I don't want to keep you any longer because, it's this Sunday. You were completely right. So it is this
Sunday.
There
we go. See?
All right. Now I don't want to keep you because I know you got to run, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't stay long this time. But next time you invite me on, we'll chat longer next time.
Excellent. Yeah, we'll definitely do it again soon. And, have a good night. Thanks for coming on.
All right. All right, talk to you.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night. That was Chrissy Rivera. Like I said, she had to run a little early tonight, but she's welcome back anytime. And, you know, we'll get her back on as soon as possible and, continue to do what we do. So I am going to... take a break. Let me find a track I could play real quick. Hit the bathroom or whatnot. I should have, I think Jesus is going to be calling in soon and whatnot. Jeez, horrible with this. I can't even find what I'm looking for. Well, I definitely got a few other topics to hit. So just bear with me as I painfully look for a clip to play. There we go. I'll go with a Bernie Mac joint real quick and then be back after this.
So the word motherfucker is a noun. It describes a person, place, or thing. You know, when you hear black folks, we loud. That's how Defense Magnet lives. We loud. We talk aggressive, you know. But get a talk, you know, we ain't gonna do nothing to you. You know, we'll tell you in a minute, you know, I'll blow this motherfucker up, you know. You ain't never known a black terrorist in the day of your life. You ain't never known a black man to blow up a goddamn thing. First of all, where you gonna buy the dynamite from and from who? The first time he tried to buy some dynamite, he going to jail like a motherfucker. Just expression. I had a guy, man, when you see my people, you see them in the social place, you see them in the mall, you see them in the bowling alley, and you might see three or four brothers together, and you might hear the word motherfucker 32 times. And you might hear just two regular English words. But the conversation makes sense like a motherfucker. Everybody can understand it. Don't be afraid of the word motherfucker. I'm going to break it down to you. If you're out there this afternoon, you see about three or four brothers talking, you might hear a conversation, and it go like this. You seen that motherfucking Bobby? That motherfucker owed me $35 motherfucking dollars. He told me he gonna pay my motherfucking money last motherfucking week. I ain't seen this motherfucker yet. I'm not gonna chase this motherfucker for my $35 motherfucking dollars. I called the motherfucker four motherfucking times, but the motherfucker won't call me back. I called his mama the other motherfucking day. She gonna play like the motherfucker went in. I started to cuss her motherfucking ass out. But I don't want no motherfucking trouble. But I'll tell you one motherfucking thing. The next motherfucking time I see this motherfucker, and he ain't got my motherfucking money, I'm on bust his motherfucking head, and I'm out this motherfucker.
I'm back, and I got with me on the line none other than the Black G's.
Yo, what's good, homie?
What's going on, man?
Chilling. Snow that snow again.
You got that shit out there, huh? I don't know if it's snowing out here.
It ain't sticking to nothing, but it's still annoying.
Yeah. So, I hear you had quite a weekend. I ain't get a chance to see the CZW show. I know they got you banned over there and all this. They banned in the blackout, but I mean, y'all had some plans for him. What happened on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't know. I ain't even see the show. What happened? I heard some things. You know what I'm saying? I heard some things got stolen and shit, man. I don't know what's going on with that, though. CZW need to take better care of their possessions and shit. You know what I'm saying? Or it might just come up stolen.
Yeah, I definitely saw there was some jewelry missing over there, and I don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. Like, you know how I always felt about CZW. They got their favorites, and me, Ruckus, and Marino, we not their favorites, so they always want to cater to them. So they want to suspend us like we in high school or something. So we just looked at it like, all right, okay. You know what I'm saying? They want to suspend us. Let's just go to the show and fuck things up for everybody. So we just went in, took what we needed to take, and we bounced. And we just left them standing there like, whoa, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? So if they want their stuff back, they better come with some money. They better come with some apologies. You know what I'm saying? They better come on bended knee, something, because if not, they ain't getting them back. These belts might be going on eBay. They might go on the Blackout Shopping Network. You never know.
Who's even supposed to be the tag champs now? I think they actually changed hands. They didn't have nothing to hand anybody, but I don't know.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Blackout is the new champ. We got the belts, so that would mean that we the champs, right? I mean, as far as that match, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I heard there was some people just standing around with their thumbs in their ass like, what happened? So, I don't know.
Yeah. So what's the plans going in? I mean, they got another show coming up. They got this whole WrestleCon. They got, you know, a lot of things going on. And clearly you guys are going to change what you feel like changing and do different things. So,
yeah, I mean, you could probably expect me, Ruckus, Marino with the Freebird rules to be defending them belts on shows everywhere. You might see us pop up on Extreme Rising with those belts. You might see us popping up anywhere, but just know that at any given time, Blackout will be causing an impact in tag team scenes everywhere.
Nice. You also been doing a little work over there with Impact Wrestling, right? Speaking of Impact.
Yeah. I was down there back in January for these pay-per-views that they're doing. They're not doing 12 pay-per-views a year, so they're doing 4 each year. And then on the months that there's not any live pay-per-views, they're going to be showing some taped ones. And the one that I did, One Night Only Extravaganza, that's supposed to be airing on pay-per-view on April the 5th. It was a good time, man. I had a bunch of the X Division dudes from back in the day, like Petey Williams and Jimmy Rave. Sanjay was down there, a couple others. You know what I'm saying? It was a good time. You know.
That's cool. So they're gonna continue to bring you back. I think they're on tour or something now, right?
They just came back from Europe. Everything's going good over there. I mean. Like, I look at it like this, man. I'm not really fond of the indies anymore, and my time down at TNA, I had a good time every time, so I'm hoping to be there more often. And, yeah, like the indies is cool sometimes, and, like, I pretty much done a lot that I can really do on the indies, so I'd rather more people see what I got to offer on television, whether it be TNA or whether I'd be fortunate enough to get a WWE contract or something. But, like, anything is better than dealing with the indies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just gets to a point where, like, it's not really much else for you to prove on the indies. There's not really many indie companies out there that I haven't wrestled for that I'm really losing sleep about wrestling for. So, you know, I'd just rather be on a bigger stage. And, like, no matter what people say about TNA or WWE, both are a larger stage than any indie company. So that's how I feel anyway.
What does it feel like, you know, seeing guys like, you know, Mox on TV and, you know, Cesaro and those guys? That, I mean, you've been around and in the same locker room and in the ring with a lot of these cats, and you got to know that it's, you're right on the cusp of doing that same thing because, you know, being in the same ring in the same areas.
Yeah, it feels good, man. Like Moxley is killing it on TV, man. And, we already knew that Claudio was a star even way back. So, anytime you see Claudio, Tony Cesaro on the TV, man, you just got to smile and feel good because that's somebody that definitely deserved it. You can't find anybody that's going to find a negative thing to say about Claudio at all. Like, he's a good dude. He always had a great attitude. He always tore it up in the ring. And you know what I'm saying? Now, I see Cesaro having a Hall of Fame career, honestly. Hero was up there. He going to kill it once he get on TV. My homie Corey Graves, I heard he about to get called up. Used to be Sterling James Keenan on the Indies. So it's real cool that a lot of Indies that got guys that proved themselves on the Indies for years is getting opportunities to make real money now, you know.
Any feelings or anything with Cali, Gorilla or anything?
Oh yeah, that's one place that I haven't wrestled for. That it would be cool to wrestle there. Like, I've never been to California before, so that would be a plus. But other than that, I can't really think of many other indie companies that I haven't wrestled for that, you know what I'm saying, that I'm fiending to wrestle for, you know.
Right.
It'd be cool to do ROH again. I still like their products, so it'd be cool to be there. But you know what I'm saying, that's not really up to me. It's like, you know, hopefully something will pan out where I can do stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. Now, what's your thoughts on another thing on it? Because, I mean, you're a guy in the business. You've been around for a long time. You've been involved in all sorts of matches from, I mean, even death matches to, you know, lucha to everything. But I get a lot of different comments and a lot of people that are bitter towards that style of wrestling and stuff. But what's your thoughts on what they call a quote-unquote spot match, high spot match?
Oh, it's like a lot of flips or whatever?
Well, I mean, like, there's some people that are completely turned off to, like, the Dragon Gate or the Gorilla or that all together because they see that as there's no psychology or there's no, you know, thought process to the match.
Yeah, I mean, I joke about it a lot, you know what I'm saying, with guys that do a lot of flips. But honestly, I mean, like, it's a market for it. Like, it's a reason why, like, fans love guys that do a lot of flips. Like, it's a reason why people go out of their way to see A.R. Fox's matches or Rich Swann's matches, you know what I'm saying, or anybody like that. So it definitely has a place, you know what I'm saying? If people didn't like it, then they wouldn't watch it or get hyped up about it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Sometimes, like when you on shows, you got to have, like, all different types of matches. So you're going to have, like, matches where it's Japanese style or whatever, or lucha style. And you got to have matches where it's just guys just doing a whole bunch of creative flips and stuff like that. It's needed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't have a problem with it. Like, I just say, like, a lot of guys, they do a lot of flips. And when it's time to, like, showcase, like, who their character is, what their character is really about, they're not really good at that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if you're going to be able to do flips, that's good. But also, know how to explain who your character is. Know how to cut promos. You know what I'm saying? Like I say, Rich Swann is somebody that not only can he do a lot of flips, he got natural personality. He got natural charisma. You know what I'm saying? He's one of the top guys as far as like guys with that style because he knows how to tell he knows how to tell the audience who his character is. He can cut promos. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get behind him from his matches and his promos and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? If more people, like, could talk and do flips, that'd be better. But, you know, it's nothing wrong with, like, high spot matches at all. I just joke about it a lot, like, online, because I know, like, some of the fans get all hyped about it and get all mad. So it makes me mad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I enjoy the style and all of that because, I mean, there's a lot of excitement to it. And,
yeah.
You know, I think, you know, you put a lot of those, you know, high-impact moves and, you know, hard to pull off spots and stuff. You put it all into a match and get it all right, I feel like that takes a lot of talent, you know, so.
I think, like, a lot of people, like some of the boys that, like, that be serious about saying stuff like, yeah, man, he can flip and do nothing else. But I think, like, it's like a little bit of jealousy, you know what I'm saying? Like, like, if you're able to do that stuff, then do it. Why, like, not do it? You know what I'm saying? Like, if some of the dudes out there that can do it, but they choose not to do it because they worry about people clowning them for doing it, like, that's hurting themselves. Like, if you can do it, do it. You know what I'm saying? That's going to bring more attention to you, so do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how Ruckus was way back, you know what I'm saying, doing a whole bunch of flips.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, Ruckus also had personality, and he could cut promos and stuff. So, you know,
sure.
Just do whatever, you know what I'm saying, makes you stand out from everybody else, do it. And don't worry about people hating on it. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I feel you, man. Yeah, I mean, to each their own, and everybody's got to, you know, find what they enjoy about wrestling and get into it. So,
yeah.
You know, some people just get mad as hell over shit. So.
Yeah, I know, man. People always look for stuff to be negative about. That's all it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, then, like, just like, you know, like, I know you be talking about it on the show a lot, how, like, when fans express how they feel about stuff, then people in the business be getting mad. Like, if you never lace up the boots, don't comment on it. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, we in the game. So, like, you got to deal with the good and the bad. Like, if you gonna get mad about it and get laced, like, burn your boots. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's just like any actors in Hollywood, they got to deal with positive and negative stuff. So, like, you know.
Music, actors, everything. Sports.
Yeah, you know, comedians, you know what I'm saying? You know what you're getting into when you got into it, so don't be crying about it when people say negative things about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's always people that are just going to hate, and you got to weed those out and just move on, and then there's people who might want to see you step your game up and, you know, comment on it, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, I'm about to get into I'm about to put Greg on in a second, get into this football thing, because I, you know, took last week off and I ain't even touched the Super Bowl yet. So,
yeah.
I don't know. You know, anything else you want to throw out there, or, you know, whatever else?
Nah, man, I'm gonna just be sitting back listening. You know what I'm saying? I listen to the show all the time. Everybody out there, make sure y'all always tune in to Yakuza Kick Radio. My homie J-Cat, you know what I'm saying? He be doing his thing. He speaks his mind. And you can't hate on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's his show, so he can say whatever he wants, express himself however he wants. And a lot of the boys support you, Jay. So keep doing your thing. Whoever don't like
Thank you, man.
Tell him eat a dick. No broke back.
Absolutely, man. Thanks.
All right, yo.
All right, man. Talk to you.
Peace.
Now I got on Greg Excellent. What's going on, Greg?
What's up, man? I caught the last end of the Black G's on here talking nonsense.
Talking nonsense. Well, you know.
I gotta bust his balls, you know. He's a good dude,
yeah. But let me, you know, because I haven't touched the Super Bowl yet, so I'll start off by saying congratulations to you and your Baltimore Ravens for winning the Super Bowl.
Thank you very much. A true test in the Colin Kaepernick 49ers, and it was a good game. It was fairly one-sided until someone pulled the switch, and, you know, they didn't pay their light bill in Nollins.
And then shit
got way too tense for me for the next one and three quarters of football.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I'll say right off the bat too is I'm proud of my guys. I mean, you know, obviously I would have been happier with a win, but I mean, we really showed some, you know, never die stuff. We really showed what we can do amongst
the
lot.
Very good team for a long time. And, I mean, everybody, you know, all the pundits say, you know, I hear a lot of people, I listen to, you know, like sports talk radio and stuff, and they say, well, you know, defensive coordinators are for, you know, this pistol and this, you know, they run a long kind of football, never have quarterbacks, and that's fine. But,
breaking up a little bit.
Hear you that?
Yeah, I'm there. You're just breaking up a little bit.
But guys like Colin Kaepernick, I don't know how you plan for somebody like that who can beat you two ways. I mean, the kid's got a strong arm. You know, he can run. He's like a fucking gazelle. And
And
you know, he's going to be a player in this league for a long time. You know, I don't think people make, you know, associations to RG3 and how, you know, now he got his knee blown out and they had to reconstruct his knee. Well, you know, he's going to get hit like that. Well, I mean, until it's shown that you can catch up to him and put a shot on him like that.
You know, right.
That's a moot point. And then let's also bring up the fact that his 10th start was the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, all credit. I give you guys a shit ton of credit. You know, what's weird is, you know, a lot of times when you got people, you know, I'm a Ravens fan, you're a Niners fan, you know, I'd be talking shit. I have no shit to talk. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, if we'd have lost that game, I'd have been upset. But you know what? Better team won. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, it was a nail biter at the end. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm glad we won it, but
you're right.
It was a hell of a game. It was a hell of a game.
Yeah, I mean, you guys definitely outplayed us that day. A lot of veterans out there. Honestly, to, you know, break the game down a little bit, the start of the game, our momentum was retarded. We came out, you know, immediately, I think it was first snap through a 20-yard pass, and immediately called back for a stupid penalty. So that was like, you know, and then three and out after that. So clearly not a good offensive start. On the other side of the ball, stupid defensive penalty helped you 15 yards up the field. It was just like, you know, disappointing on both sides of the ball, and you guys just played game, you know, and continue to do what you guys do. You got veterans on your team like Ray Lewis, and you know, Flacco's not a guy who loses a lot in the postseason, so, you know, he knew what to do when it came to mistakes being made on our end.
Well, that, and, you know, you put the – I mean, I'm a Joe Flacco guy. I mean, there's a couple of throws there that were a little bit errant, but, you know, that he's getting chased out of the pocket, and he throws one up towards the sideline. And, you know, there's not a lot of receivers other than Anquan Boldin to make that catch and still get hit and stay in bounds. And, you know, Quan had a hell of a postseason, and, you know, hopefully we could find a way to keep him in, you know, in Baltimore. But it was a one-sided game. I mean, if you're going to go back and nitpick, and here's the thing, and this is, I've said, you know, Colin Delaney's a 49ers fan.
Okay.
And, you know, we had to talk Saturday. We're sitting in the locker room, and I said, look, man, I said, I know you're still, and of course, I've got my, you know, world champion Baltimore Ravens shirt on. Maybe I wore it to be a little bit of a dick to him, so a little bit of a jab. But I said to him, I was like, no. I said, it's first and goal from the 5. How do you not run the pistol at all in four plays?
Right.
How? Well, I mean, like they had proven in the second half we could not stop that. So
yeah.
You're going to get 5 yards. You're going to get 7. How do you not run the pistol at all in this four plays? It just boggles my mind.
Yeah. I mean, there's just such a various offense, and Harbaugh is just, you know, Jim Harbaugh is just a psycho. I mean, he has his own stuff going. You can look at his face and just be like, this guy's going to snap. And he kind of comes up with his own, like, his game plan that I don't think other people are thinking of, which I think is part of what makes us really good. But, you know, I guess at some points it does, you know, take us down a notch if he doesn't make the right call. But, I don't know. And, well, plus as far as the championship shirts, there's plenty of kids in Africa with 49ers championship gear on we speak.
What's
so
funny is I watched the game at work, and you know, the game's over, and it's like, oh my god, we won, it's crazy. So I drive home. My fiance, she's staying somewhere. She went and watched the game with a couple of friends, and she's a little bit toasted, so she's gonna stay where she's at. So I'm going home, let the dog out to the business. So hop on Facebook, and I see like 3 people on my Facebook have got, you know, world champion hats and shirts. I'm like, whoa, hold on a minute. I said, the game just ended. So I messaged somebody, and they're like, oh, yeah, Dick's is open. I'm like, hold on. There's a Dick's like 4 minutes from my house. So I called them up. Yeah, we're open until 2. So I rolled over there. And I was like, you know, I wanted a shirt. I wanted a hat. And I said, well, when did you guys get these? And he said, dude, we've had them for a week. They're under lock and key. I said, really? In San Francisco, they have a bunch of them out, and they send them, you know, the NFL will come back tomorrow and get them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll FedEx them to the NFL shop, and I was like, I always thought that was a joke, that kids in Africa are going to have 49ers championship shirts and shit like that. I always thought
they do. They do. They send them to, you know, places where they don't have anything and they don't know anything about football. So they're like, as far as they know, they're champions.
That's hilarious to me. But, yeah, he said, well, the funny thing is, he had a buddy that lived in New England and who also works for Dick's, and the day of the AFC Championship game between Baltimore and New England, you know, New England's selling AFC Championship shit. You know, so they got in trouble for that, obviously, because there's people in the stands that had AFC Championship, you know, New England Patriots shirts and hats and shit like that. Right, and they lose the game.
Yeah. And then, halftime happened, and I don't know how you felt about the halftime show. I have quite a bit
Beyonce,
of feelings on that.
Beyonce is Beyonce. She's a you didn't stay and watch for the fact of, like, okay, she's gonna sing well or anything like that. You stayed to see her thighs and ass, and I know Black G's will appreciate what I just said. And you stayed to watch. You stayed to watch that, and it's the halftime show is always very intricate, very. You know, very orchestrated, very well put together. Was it great? No, but I mean, Wash Your Ass Shade was fun.
Yeah, I don't know, but I turned to the girl here. I was just like, her face is looking fucked up tonight. I said, I don't know what about it.
Her eyes looked messed up.
I was like, this is all fucked up, and you see nothing but memes of her being the ultimate warrior and all that since then.
Oh yeah.
It's just fantastic stuff, but, like, I saw that night, and I'm like, dude, what is up with her face? And her arms are all jacked up. I'm like, oh, man, she's on, like, HGH or something. I don't know. She's on deer antler spray.
Yeah, that's where all that deer antler spray went. You know, Beyonce had that shit up on her.
And then I don't know, but, you know, to do single ladies on the Super Bowl when there's not a whole lot of single ladies watching the Super Bowl.
Right.
I'm just like, oh, well, this is weird. And then she brings out the Destiny Child chicks, and it's more or less like, okay, you're my backup dancers. And then some part in the song, she's just like, all right, get out of here. And they just had to go back in the crowd.
Yeah. We sang Independent Woman Leave.
Yeah, just, and then they did Halo, because this is a football game, and what? I'm just like, all right, enough. We're doing love songs on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, all of
like, I'm ready for more.
Timberlake pulled out Janet Jackson's boob. We got to listen to this.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. And then, you know, coming back from the half, I'm like, yeah, we got to turn it around. Kick, run back. I'm like, oh, fantastic. This is great. So.
I told Delaney again. I said, you know, if the tower doesn't go out, I don't think that's a three-point game. I think they would have made a run. But, I mean, you got to look at it. I mean, you know, Baltimore offense was on the sidelines for 90 minutes, halftime and power outage and all that, 90 minutes. They're on the sidelines just, you know, twiddling their thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the power goes out right after a sack of Kaepernick, and it's 3rd and 13. So odds are we're going to get the ball back. You know, we've already been hot to that point. You know, the chances are, you know, if we could have put 3 up, would have been doing something.
Yeah. You know, apparently a lot of people think it's the Illuminati, and they're 49er fans, apparently. But not quite all powerful, just enough to make it interesting. So, I don't know. I just, it was thrilling either way. Like, I've watched the game a second time since then on NFL Network or whatever, and it was still exciting knowing that we lose in the end. I'm like, man, this is awesome stuff. To be back there again, you know. So.
Hey, you know, 30 teams sit down on that Sunday and they watch somebody else play football, so.
Yep. And, you know, it was, I think, what did Kaepernick have, 8 starts or something like that in the regular season?
Something like the Super Bowl was his actual 10th start.
Okay, so 7 starts he had in the regular season, and the guy threw for 1,800 yards. You know, personally, I don't think that this guy is beyond getting an MVP trophy in his career. I'd be really shocked to not see that happen. So
he's got all the skills. It's about, you know, the pieces you're going to keep around him. Obviously, you know Frank Gore. I mean, Frank Gore's like the ageless wonder. He endured a lot of shit years in San Francisco. You know, now it's like, okay, now we got it together. You know, it's going to be fun for a little while.
Oh, yeah. The guy had surgery on both knees.
Obviously, got talented wide receivers. And, you know, Vernon Davis is a beast. And you guys are going to have, like I said, you guys are going to be a successful team for quite some time. I think, you know, as far as that, you know, that your division goes, the West isn't exactly, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, Seattle's going to be Seattle. And was this year a fluke, or is Russell Wilson the real deal? And there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle that are still up to answer, but, you know, they're going to be a good team. They're going to be a mainstay playoff team, I feel, which is good for you guys, you know. Hopefully they'll have to run against you again, though.
Yeah. Yeah, ain't no deer spray or Ray Lewis next time.
So. Ageless wonder, Jesus Lewis.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I'm so impressed by Kaepernick. I was not a fan of the switch when they made it because, I mean, the guy went out with a concussion. It's like, all right, you're done, buddy. Well, start looking at other teams. I was like, oh, wow, he was pretty consistent going in.
That is a tough situation, especially for, you know, Kaepernick. That's a tough situation. Okay, now I'm the starter. You know, the starter, he got a concussion, so he's out for a week. I'm filling in. But, you know, you're successful. You put up big numbers. You look good. You make Jim Harbaugh look good. You know, there's no reason why, okay, if it's a gut check moment, you know, all right, then we'll go with Cap, and obviously it worked out. You feel bad for Alex Smith, you know, it's kind of bittersweet, but in the same token, you know, he's gonna go somewhere and be a starting quarterback. I mean, more than likely,
oh, yeah.
You know, everything that's been said, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him end up in Kansas City with Andy Reid or some along those lines. He's going to be a starting quarterback in this league.
Kansas City or the Jets or Arizona or, you know.
I pity the fool that ends up in New York. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Pity the fool that ends up in New York.
Yeah,
what a colostomy bag of sports the New York Jets are.
Yeah. Someone has to end up there. I was, you know.
Well, that's true. I mean, I thought
the dirty job
of someone's
got to
get a shot, but apparently that's not going to happen.
No. Yeah, it should be interesting. Now it's the waiting game for football to come back. So
isn't that the worst? Isn't it the worst? Like, because I mean, I enjoy baseball. I mean, baseball is probably like my first passion when I was a kid. Because Baltimore didn't have a football team growing up. So I mean, you know, I enjoyed the, like I just picked a team out of the hat. I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll root for the Minnesota Vikings. Oh, if my eyes were closed, if my eyes were fucking open, for Christ's sake, as a kid, I could have got Minnesota on a map. But you know, so. I enjoyed baseball, and now it's at the point where I kind of like baseball. Obviously, I love football, and there's that lull between, okay, baseball's not happening and football's not happening, so SportsCenter's pretty much useless to watch.
Right.
I mean, basketball's okay, but I only really enjoy basketball towards the end of the year. You know, because, you know, you weed through all the bullshit and...
Yeah, I like basketball once football's over, but now I'm still in, like, my refractory period after this football season. I'm like, dude, I'm not ready yet. I just got to wait. But, you know, it's definitely my two sports are football and basketball. Football far more than anything else. But, yeah, I'm very excited. Like I said, Kaepernick is one of the – best shows on football, you know. He could do so much, and the thing that I think stands out above all with him is he's not just a running quarterback. He's got the legs, he could do, but he throws bullets, and I think that'll keep
very
him
strong
in the longer. You know,
yeah. What are you gonna do? You gonna put eight in the box? He's gonna burn you one on one. He's gonna burn you one on one on the outside of the Crabtree, or you're gonna put a linebacker on Vernon Davis or something like that, and drop. You're gonna get hurt. So, I mean, obviously, I mean, it's true that defensive coordinators are smart guys. They're gonna come up with ways to make it more difficult, but cream always rises to the top. So,
yeah,
you know, he's gonna be a tough guy to stop.
Yeah, definitely. So we had Chrissy on earlier, and you know, she talked a little about. So, how'd your weekend go with the ultra-violent food fight?
I mean. You know me. I'm not one to keep secrets as far as pulling the curtain back just a little bit. I had a great time. I thought it was a blast. You know, I know Black Jesus was on a little bit, and he had his burn your boots tour, and uh, I think I've kind of adapted that a little bit, but mine is kill the business. And I'm just trying to do the most off-the-wall, ridiculous crap and see what I can get away with.
All right.
That's really been my, I guess, my go-to, what I've felt like doing is just, let's see what I can get away with. Let's see what kind of crazy, obnoxious nonsense we can do. And obviously, I wrestle girls now, so we'll make a normal shit. But what's funny is, like, I don't know. If the truth of the matter is, like, a lot of guys have said something to me about, like, well, are you just going to wrestle girls now or something? I'm like, I don't look at it like, okay, she's a girl, I'm a guy. I really do look at it like, okay, she's a wrestler, I'm a wrestler. I'm not going to change anything I do.
Right.
I'm not going to take a little bit off. I'm not going to do anything like that because, for me, I think I'd be slighting my opponent if I'm going to go, okay, I'm going to go easy on them.
Sure.
It's just... They're in there doing the same thing that I'm trying to do.
Right.
I mean, it's the long and short of it. So, you know, I wrestled, you know, Mia like she was a dude, guy, girl, whatever. She's a wrestler, I'm a wrestler. Same thing with Kimberly and just the same with Chrissy. The difference is Chrissy's like 4'10". And
yeah.
She's the most dainty of those individuals that I have wrestled. And, I mean, I give her a lot of credit. You know, I'm a 300-pound guy. And
yeah.
She held her own. I was very happy with how everything went. You know, we're not perfect. There was a mess up. You know, we got past it. We moved on. But I think the crowd enjoyed it. It was something different, and that's the key to wrestling. Have something different on the show.
Right.
Find a way to stand out. I mean, it's kind of difficult when the show's booked the way it was, and there was what I think 4 intergender type matches or 3 at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I think 4, yeah.
Well, there was 1 on the day show, so it would have been 4 all day.
Okay.
So, I mean, but we're just, our goal was to try and find a way to be different, and I think we did that.
Yeah, it's definitely different. Then upcoming, you got, I guess we're still looking towards April, but you're going to wrestle Colt Cabana.
Yeah, that's what WrestleCon will be. Colt Cabana and myself, which should be fun. I'm really excited to finally have that. You know, a couple other promoters I had worked for had said that was the goal. Like, oh, we want to do you and Cabana. I heard it in Maryland. I heard it once in New Jersey. I heard it once in Philadelphia. I'm like, okay. And it, like, all fell apart. Never really happened. So,
right.
You're finally going to have that match where it's like, you know, he's Colt Cabana. I mean, he's a well-known guy. He's been a lot of places. He's incredibly talented and far, you know, far more entertaining than I could aspire to be. But I really look forward to it. It should be a blast. And he's a dude, so it'd be something different.
Yeah, again with the different. There you go. I think that should be a really entertaining match. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy I've really, you know, I've watched for years, and you know, he seems like he's very interested and excited to do some business and have some fun, and that's the biggest thing for me is, you know, I just want to have fun. I'm like, I said in the promo a little while ago, it's like I've made hundreds and hundreds of dollars in this business. I've been wrestling for like 10 years, and I don't look at it like a job. I've always looked at it like it's an extension of high school. Like I go and get a chance to do something that I enjoy, and that's how I look at it. You know, that's about the extent of it. Like if I can do something that I have fun with, then it all transcends. And you know, the person watching is going to have fun with it. And that's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I mean that's one way to not be upset by the wrestling business for sure, because so many people go in expecting to be, you know, rolling in dough in 6 months, and they're bitter and
they're idiots. They're absolutely stupid. I mean, to get into this for the sake of money is just the worst decision you can make. I mean, if it happens, it happens. Obviously, you know, my mother told me when I was a kid was find something you love and find a way to make money doing it. And I mean, I found something I love, and you know what? That's half the battle. I'm good after that. You know, I don't see it in the cards that I find a way to get rich doing this. So I'll just have fun with it while it lasts, and when it's done, I'll find something else to do.
You got any other upcoming shows?
This weekend in Hanover is at UBW. We're having our 9-year anniversary show. Big steel cage main event. That should be a lot of fun. Check that out at gbwrestling.com. And that's about it. I mean, my schedule is pretty light. I'm getting married in the end of March, so I'm trying not to get too banged up, and I'm staying busy with all that nonsense of planning that and figuring that out. And marriage is a punishment for shoplifting in some countries, so trying to get past that. But
no.
So that's it. Definitely. That's all I got.
Cool, man. Well, I mean, thanks for calling in, and definitely, again, congratulations to your Ravens.
Thanks,
hopefully,
man.
You won't
and,
have to deal with
always,
brothers in the Super Bowl again.
And, oh, yeah, well, hopefully we won't have to go through that kind of stress.
Yeah.
That's the main thing with me. If, you know, if I'm going to go through that kind of stress, I'll be great. But,
yeah.
You know, you keep doing what you do. You know, love your shit, and don't let the outside world get you down, man. I look at your Facebook, and every once in a while, I'm like, should I message Jay and bother him and make sure he's all right, or... I'm like, just keep doing what you do and be happy and be positive and, you know.
Thanks, man. I'm a psycho, but, you know.
Hey, you know what?
What can you do?
Ain't nothing wrong with being a little crazy.
Yeah. Try to keep it a little. Yeah.
All right, man. I'm gonna finish up here, but you take care of yourself, and I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Good night, man.
See you later.
All right. There you go. There's Greg Excellent, and trying to look for, I don't know, man. I put up like several tracks before this show, and then I go to look for them, and this thing just like, it scrambles shit. Like, you can't find them ever again. I got to delete so much stuff off the soundboard because I can never find anything. It's like a word search, but they're all in like one column. Brutal stuff. I don't know if that's like that Ruzzle game you guys all play, but I don't like it if this is what it's like, so... I'll just play this. I've played it before, but I'll play it again. All right, and I'll come back after this track. Got a few more things to cover real quick. Not too much, but I'll cover a few more things I want to get into, and hit you in a minute.
Running local. Sweat and cream, I ain't wet fame. Fame is the best. flew out of Nicolas Cage. Joe text messages from Satchel's page. Betty write letters with ink from Sean's pen. Infinite bars, you couldn't tell where the song end. Glenn close enough to quickly dub the tapes. Richard Gere rip while he was climbing Bill Gates. He was a southerner, posing as a native New Yorker. When Jason Kidd took his first steps to Jimmy's Walker, he stayed online, chatting with Max Celebs. Use Murray's back to search Veronica's web. It cost them their life for the advice she gave. Now Pete Rose lay on Vanessa's red rain. What frame I ain't with pain. Fame is the measure. Rats the land. The place where stars were born. What cream I ain't wet pay. Fame is the measure. Rats the land. The place where stars were born.
There you go. One thing I wanted to get into real quick that I just thought was fucked up, and kind of wish I had another opinion on this to converse with. I'll probably bring it up a few more times in the next coming week if I, you know, have somebody on and stuff I could ask them. But Jamie Foxx went out on the NAACP Awards, and he was making his speech, you know, collecting an award, I'm guessing, for Django Unchained. And he said this.
Black people are the most talented people in the world. I can't explain it.
And I can't help but feel that that shit is racist as fuck. Now, the thing is I think he's a talented actor. I thought when he was a comedian, because that ship has sailed, he was funny. But I think that statement right there is some racist shit. I don't care if you're surrounded by black people or not. I don't care what the case is, and you go out there in front of anybody and you make a statement that one race is the most talented race on the planet. That's some racist shit. If you had a white dude standing up there going, white people are the most talented people on the planet, there would be fucking Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, fucking every day have new reverends coming out of woodwork. That shit would not fly for 15 seconds. There is nothing wrong with being proud of whatever you are, whatever race, religion, whatever you're a part of. There's nothing wrong with being proud of that. But to just go out there and just be like, we're the most talented motherfuckers on the planet, just us. Like, dude, that shit is ignorant as hell. And you wouldn't stand for somebody saying that shit if they were another color. You know what I mean? So this is the thing, that people get away with something like this in different instances, but it doesn't make it okay. Now, you know, he just came off of a movie where he was even catching criticism because there was so much racism and stuff that was going on in that. But that was the time of the story that was being told, and that's why, you know, it's acceptable, because it was a story being told in a certain time where that type of thing was going on. So you had both sides of it, and obviously it wasn't glorified as if, and I didn't even see the movie, but I promise you it wasn't glorified as if this was the right way. It was, you know, a group of people that lived a certain way that they thought it was the right way. But clearly they're the heels, they're the bad guys in the movie. I mean, this isn't a way of glorifying or saying, yes, well, these people are, you know, right, and they think that race should be wiped out, and, well, they're right. No. That's not, you know, that was a different way of things going. And I just think, when you get one person saying this color is better than anything else, or that race is better than anything else, or this is better than anything else, I mean, everybody's individual. And I think, you know, clearly if Quentin Tarantino thought the white race was better than anything else, he probably wouldn't be casting black people. He probably wouldn't be, you know, making movies that, you know, that highlighted, you know, what scumbags white people were back in the day. And, you know, the people of the South and all that, the terrible things that they did back in the day. And it obviously creates, you know, a story, because you have, like, pretty much the worst type of person that wants a whole nother, you know, a person by the way that they look or the way that they were born to be gone off the planet. And that's I mean, there's no better way to make a bad guy. I mean, you look at Hitler. I mean, he wanted to wipe out a race. I mean, this is classic, you know, horrible shit. But I think it starts with the ideal of one person thinking said race is better than any other race as a whole. So it just rubbed me the wrong way when I heard it. And like I said, I guarantee you, if it was a white dude standing on an award show and said white people are the most talented people on the planet, there would be an uproar. That motherfucker would be making apologies everywhere. So he was trying to please the crowd he was standing in front of, but I think it was a wrong statement, and I just kind of want to get my feelings on that. That's all. So that's that. The only other thing I wanted to kind of really quick touch on is I watched a little of the National Pro Wrestling Day thing. I watched the afternoon show so far. I think most of the afternoon show. One thing I'll say is that Chiva Kid Cat, that dude is nasty. I definitely like his work. He's going to be in Best of the Best. I'm actually going to try to attend Best of the Best. And it really depends on, you know, tickets and if I'm able to get, you know, what I'm trying to do. And, you know, if I do, I do. If I don't, I don't. But I'm going to try to go to Best of the Best. I've never missed one yet. It's, you know, I missed the first couple of Cage of Deaths. So, and I missed this past Cage of Deaths. So, you know, I've missed Cage of Deaths. I've missed, I think, like the Tournament of Death Rewinds and Fast Forwards or whatever, you know, the extra Tournament of Deaths. And I didn't go to Tournament of Death 1 either. So, I've missed a few of those, but the one big CZW show I've never missed one of so far is Best of the Best. So, definitely going to try to get out there. So far, I think they got Rich Swann, A.R. Fox, Shane Strickland, who I believe will be coming on next week. Shane Hollister is also in, and the Chiva Kid. So Fox, Swan, Shane Strickland, Shane Hollister, and Chiva Kid so far are in there, and they're going to have more people, you know, get in there before that. So there you go. That's, you know, should be a good tournament as usual. I'm definitely predicting AR Fox wins it. I think he deserves it. You know, he's busted his ass. I mean, he's done above and beyond for CCW over time and pretty much everywhere he's at. He does the same thing on Dragon Gate. He does the same thing on Evolve or wherever he goes. So, I mean, he's going to continue to be a name that pops crowds and gets people on their feet and stuff at wrestling shows. So, and I mean, last year he went to the finals against Sammy, fucking bananas. The tournament was awesome. He definitely went all out, got his eardrum bust. I want to say that was the first round. And, went through the whole show, definitely showed a lot in that. So, you know, he's still the Wired title holder, even though, you know, I think the whole Wired title is fucking retarded at this point. I don't understand where a title gets to the point of being prestigious, where you have like a junior title that's gone over in Japan and you have like, you know, such a history of a title and people who've held it and all that, you know, and the Best of the Best was built around the junior title. And then this stupid multicolored Fruit Loop belt, you know, now we're going to just solidify to that. That's crazy as hell. He should be the junior heavyweight champion right now. And that should be the thing that they're, you know, putting on the line. I really hated when they did that. The Ultraviolent Underground thing isn't as big of a deal to me because, you know, they're going to – maybe they'll bring it back if they bring back the Ultraviolent Underground, which is fine. But they're going to do death matches where they're going to do death matches. So it doesn't really change a lot. And then the other one that definitely bothered me too was the Iron Man, because that was actually more of the deathmatch title. You know, that was the one where you were going to find, like, oh, this is going to be problems. And they switched it over to more of a pure wrestling title. On that point, they really kind of lost their focus with it on what exactly they wanted to do. It kind of became like a secondary junior title. They really didn't have an identity to it once they took it away from that. So I think they lost their focus with that, and it was kind of upsetting, you know, once you've seen Lobo and Wifebeater and Gage and all those guys killing each other over the Iron Man title. It just became a little upsetting when they switched it to a wrestling title. And next thing you know, they had Sammy rename it the new horror title, and then they just abandoned it and got rid of that. And, you know, Ultraviolent Underground title, and, you know, the deathmatch, they just really just scrapped titles left and right. And it seems like the titles that they scrapped were the ones that had any type of history. The only thing they haven't scrapped is the world title and the tag titles. So, I mean, if they find a way to come up with a goofy title to replace those, then they will have done completely wrong by their belts. But, you know, this happens. Either way, they're going to go out there. They're going to put on the type of matches they're going to put on. So, you know, support them. Check it out. You know, like what you like. Don't like what you don't like. Heard rumors about them going back into the arena by the end of the year. You know, if it goes that way, it goes that way. If it doesn't, it doesn't. The bottom line, they need to focus on putting on good shows, routinely putting on good shows. And I don't want to say completely locking down their talent, but the talent that is putting on the good shows, is stealing the shows, the things that you know that the fans are popping for, you got to do your best. Fuck a second Saturday, run it whenever you can to get the talent that gets people in your building. You're not going to, you know, put on, you know, crazy matches with AR Fox and Adam Cole and Sammy and you know, all these guys, and then a month or two down the road pull all those guys off your card because these guys are on Dragon Gate and this guy's in Ring of Honor and this guy's here and this guy's there, and just put in filler matches with other people, and your mid card becomes your main card. You can't just replace that and then expect your house to stay the same. You dumb down your card, and then you play these suspension angles with half of the roster that's actually, you know, bringing people in. I mean, they just did that suspension angle with Joker. That shit ended with him being gone. With, like, amongst the time that he was doing the suspension angle, shit still went down in the back, and things weren't being treated right, you know, according to him. You know, I can't put words in his mouth, but, you know, he was on the show. And, you know, these things happen and you lose opportunities. I mean, they lost the payoff match of, you know, Masada and Joker again. You know, that was supposed to build and that was supposed to be bigger, and it wasn't able to be done because they waited too long. They just put on AR Fox versus Rich Swann on Saturday, well, which I'm sure it was a great match. But unfortunately, Evolve and Dragon Gate did that match a whole bunch of times. But the problem is CZW had both of those guys in the locker room long before Dragon Gate or Evolve had these guys on their cards. So why is CZW waiting to pull the trigger on so many things? I mean, it's just, you can't wait to pull the trigger. You got to, you know, seize the day, carpe diem. You got to, that's what you got to do. You can't wait. You can't expect 3 months down the road, oh, I have a plan where this is really going to work. Because all these other places they're working are just going to pull the trigger on what you have. I mean, it's just stuff that's going to happen. I mean, they built, if you remember back, you know, and I'm not talking about like the same management or anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, as an example, that way, way overstretched Danny Havoc versus Necro Butcher feud. They stretched it way, way too far. They should have probably capped it off at Tournament of Death where they had both guys. They tried to stretch it too far. They got into some kind of blowout or whatever happened with Necro and missing a flight and costing Zandig money. Zandig told him to fuck himself. That was the end of that. The payoff to that match happened on a fucking Ian Rotten show on an IWA Mid-South. I think it was King of the Death match or one of those. They had their blow-off match there. That was the next time that they wrestled. They said it right on commentary. These guys had a long-running feud in CZW. So, like, they linked right into it. And this is what happens. And it's not cutthroat out of anybody else's company or anything like that. You miss the boat, someone else catches it. I mean, it's just, there's only so much money to be made out there in the indies, especially when you're using a lot of the same talent pool. So if you think that 2 months down the road you could pull the trigger on something, you're risking someone else doing it first. And this is what happens. And I don't know, man. Like, I would just really like to see, you know, CZW go out there, put on the best possible cards they can month in and month out. Not necessarily trying to run all these cutesy doubleheader bullshit. I mean, seriously, going out there and trying to be the best promotion they could possibly be without, you know, worrying about cutting other people's throats or anything like that. Just do business and do the best business you can. You know, these like that January show, I can't imagine where you would expect that to draw a house unless you just expected the people who show up every month, which I used to be one of those people, the people who show up every month to continue to show up and just be like, oh, I thought something would have been better. Like, well, eventually people get it and they don't continue to show up to shows that they know are not going to be, you know, big cards. You got these big cards going on all over the place. You know, these Dragon Gates and Evolves and the, well, you know, PWS not so much, but I mean, they do have some names on there as far as indies, and then they have your, you know, your big TV names. So if someone decides they want to spend their, you know, $20, $30 on going, and now I can meet Lex Luger and fucking, you know, maybe that mid card match will be worth it as far as wrestling, and you know, maybe, you know, something will happen with this, or they could tolerate Matt Hardy and they'll like that match, or they, the Starman will do something they like. I mean, there's options out there. So if you give people the opportunity to skip on your show because you don't wow them the last time they were there, this is where you end up. And I'm not saying that this is, you know, my reason or excuse or any of that for, like, why, you know, my reasoning is completely different from why I haven't been there. But I'm just saying, you know, they got this thing, I don't know who's taping what's going on with anything there. So I personally, I would order the iPay-per-views every month. I would sit here, I'd give you my money every month. The fact that that's not a possibility, well, then that's that, you know? But, and I would gladly put over every show that came off well and looked great. And I would have not a problem in the world with pushing that company as far as, you know, just my voice goes, and which, you know, isn't the best thing in the world. Isn't the end all be all. I'm not going to make you guys a $1 million company by putting you over, but it's another form of media. And it's definitely another guy who's definitely getting his voice out there. You know, if I get 1,000, 1,500 downloads sometimes, I mean, shit, that's something. So I don't know. That's just me. That's all I'm saying. Shit, I know, you know, you could look around and see a whole different crowd every time you go there. And, you know, it just shows that you get your regulars and stuff like that. There's definitely people that no matter what you put on there, they're going to be there month in and month out. But that doesn't last forever. So, yeah, right. I babbled long enough. Plugs, check out Wrestling Soup tomorrow night, WrestlingSoup.com. They'll be doing their Valentine's Day, whatever. And, oh, by the way, fuck Valentine's Day. It's retarded. Sports Den is not on tonight, but check them out on their Facebook page, Sports Den. And they'll be announcing whenever they are going to do a show sometime later this week to make up for it. And just check them out there. Women Love Wrestling, check out their Facebook page. I believe they're on blogtalkradio.com/womenlovewrestling. Check out Stern Nation with my dude Andrew Carluck. They're on Codebase Radio.com. Check them out on Facebook again, Stern Nation. And, you know, they got a group there too. Check them out. And, Two Moms, One Show on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, blogtalkradio.com/Kuza. I'm at the same address next Wednesday as always. So check me out. next Wednesday, I'll be back. I will have on Shane Strickland, who just gained entry to the Best of the Best tournament for the first time ever. And should be pretty interesting. So, yeah, I think that's all I got. I'll be back next week. Talk to you guys then. Peace.
Ending. I'm departing, descending. This message out is getting out. You were talking to trembling.
I mean, get on this shit, man. Get on that shit right here. Listen.
It goes Hannibal, Barabar, Berrigan. Bars better than yours and your entourage. Paul, Sean, Berrigan. Berrigan. You know how this shit go. No disco, Cisco, or Calypso. Blow pimp, four fifth, smoke mixed with Indo. East African beats battering Chief Kimbo. Barefooted, stepping on hot cold shots of Zulu. Spin chucking your front and I'ma shoot you. Hardcore rapping is worse. Move from the morgue truck to the back of the hearse. Move from the back of the hearse to back in the dirt. Change clothes, put a tag on his turf. Move on. Sean, you can't beat me, motherfucker, your shoes wrong. Boot camp for life, B. 9 times out of 10, you can catch me at night.
That's what I'm saying, man. I know, man.
Listen, it's the start of the ending. I'm departing, but sending. This kite out, it's lights out. You were marked with an emblem.
Fuck is going on?
Listen. Started to ending, I'm departing but sending. This message out, this get is out. You were talking, this dribbling.
Cut that shit off.